Welcome to the Haney Biz Project with Mark Haney. Mark is a serial investorpreneur and the chief dreaming officer of the Haney Biz Companies. He's working tirelessly to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution and share the inspiring stories of the region's most influential leaders. And now, here's Mark Haney.
Yes, this is the Haney Biz Project, and I am here alongside Marcus Haney. And Marcus, you hear about Matthew McConaughey's new car? It cannot make left turns. It just goes all right, all right, all right. Yes, this is the Haney Biz Project, and this show is about having fun. It is about sharing the entrepreneurial stories of our region's leaders, and it's part of our mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in our hometown of Sacramento. Marcus, how you doing today? You hanging or you banging?
I am banging. I'm excited to be here, fired up to hear the next guest come on and talk about their entrepreneurial
community. Nice, because when you are banging, you are at your very best opportunity. And today is one of those days for us. We've got some great guests today. But you know, Marcus, in talking about entrepreneurship, and being at our very best, we have to acknowledge that we are missing a teammate, Miss Caroline Gaines-Toth is out on leave, so I don't know if we're going to be at our very best today. What do you think?
We're going to give it our darndest.
We're going to give it a shot, and we're thinking about you, Caroline. But Marcus, talking about entrepreneurship, you are an up-and-coming entrepreneur with your supply business. Asking you the question, why do you love entrepreneurship?
I'm pretty competitive, and I also love team building.
It is a full contact sport.
100%, yeah. You got to put your helmet on, strap up your cleats, and really, really get in the game, like you always say. I also like team building and putting together folks who can really work together and watching that really come to life. But I also think that entrepreneurship as a total is really good for our economy, right?
Yeah.
Building jobs, et cetera.
You feel like you're doing the right thing, and I am on, I'll call it my third entrepreneurial career. I started off in the video store business, exited that to the video security business, exited that, and now I am all about entrepreneurs, helping entrepreneurs, trying to help my hometown if I can. And we send out this newsletter. And I think the thing that I love most about what I'm doing today is getting to meet cool people in entrepreneurship. The guys that are really, like you say, rolling up their sleeves, strapping up the chin strap, getting in the game. And we send out an entrepreneurial revolution newsletter every week. And this week's revolution asks the question, like, what, something along the lines of, why is entrepreneurship so addictive? And I got a firing of responses back at me. And one of the responses came back last night from a guy named Tim Berry. And I would not know Tim. Bearco Redwood, the Berry Lumber Companies. I would not know Tim if I did not have this show and doing what I'm doing in this new stage of my career. But he said some things, I think, that motivate me. So part of doing this is my third career. It does motivate me to hear from real-world entrepreneurs. And he said something like, you know, when in talking about entrepreneurship and how addicting it is, he said, passion isn't part-time. You're in or you're out.
I like that.
And the other thing that he said, I think, that leaped out at me, and we're kind of going back and forth with trying to motivate
each other, I guess.
A little bit. But it was kind of like he said something along the lines of, if you're lucky enough to be an entrepreneur, you're lucky enough.
Oh, I like that one too.
There is something to be appreciative of, and maybe we feel lucky in a way if we've had the satisfaction of living the entrepreneurial journey. And, you know, part of that journey really begins with having some skin in the game. You know what I mean, Marcus?
Yeah, well, you got to dive into what you're doing or there's going to be zero success. I've never done anything well that I've gave it half foot in, half foot out.
And you know, the other thing about being an entrepreneur, you know, we were looking at this thing that came across the line about the Little League team that got caught, I guess, doing a social media post using, you're giving the middle finger to, I guess, on a social media post for fun. It looked like they were having a good time. It was a bunch of Little League girls, which
like
was
14,
odd.
14, right?
Yeah, the little kids, 12 to 14. And what happened is they got eliminated from the World Series, right? They were en route to, I guess there's a girls World Series now. But anyway,
Everybody's gonna have one.
They were progressing, but it went all the way up to Williamsport. And I guess league officials decided not to let them continue, and they got disqualified from their advancement and quest for the Little League World
Series. Because of the social media post?
Because of this crazy social media post. It looked like they were a bunch of kids goofing off and giving the camera a middle finger. Somebody decided to post it. Is it fair that they got disqualified?
Wow, great question. I think that looking back at that, I think all those young ladies are going to take a learning experience from what happened here. And sometimes getting smacked down a little bit gets you up and it makes you try harder a little bit next time. So hopefully we see them back in the World Series again next year.
Yeah, I guess the coach came out in defense saying, you know, maybe they shouldn't have been disqualified and that was too harsh. But I mean, as entrepreneurs, sometimes life doesn't seem quite fair.
Right.
You get smacked down a little bit by a few regulations, by a few people that can do things to you, for you, that end up in the long run being these learning experiences. And we're going to get some learning experience today, because the best way to learn, as we know, is by rolling up the sleeves, getting in the game, getting your uniform dirty. But the second best way to learn is by spending time with the folks who have actually been on the field, have played the game, have built the businesses. Later in the show, we will meet Mr. Greg Conley, the co-founder and president of the entrepreneurial rocket ship. That is Trifecta Nutrition. But coming up after the break, we will meet Tom Kandris. He is the entrepreneur next door. Tom is not only the man who built a successful business enterprise, Package One, but also a true leader in the Sacramento entrepreneurial community. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, brought to you courtesy of Five Star Bank. This is the Haney Biz Project.
Now, back to the Haney Biz Project with host Mark Haney.
All right. Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of Sun System Technology. I'm Mark Haney, and I am joined today by Tom Kandris, the man behind the entrepreneurial success story, Package One. How you doing, Tom?
I'm great, Mark. How you doing, man?
Thank you for coming down. I'm doing great. Now, I call you the entrepreneur next door.
That's because I am.
He actually is. He lives next door to me. And Tom, I gotta start by thanking you for introducing me to the world of entrepreneurship in Sacramento, where I had been a video store guy, then video security all over the country. And now I'm focused on my hometown. And I didn't even know what an entrepreneur was until you and I became friends. So what is entrepreneurship in Sacramento all about?
Well, Sacramento, I think it's a little bit unique as an entrepreneur community, because I think the people here in Sacramento really care about Sacramento. Yeah. I think it's less about how they become successful as individuals as they kind of become successful as part of the region.
I
think it's just really cool what we've done here.
Well, I think I learned that from you. You're a member of EO, one of the founding guys in the Sacramento Entrepreneurs Organization. They are a sponsor of our show. A little shout out to those guys, our brothers in EO. And you brought me into that organization. But beyond that, I was impressed by what you give to the community. I've accused you of being like overboarding, right? You're on the board of, I think, how many boards are you on? Sacramento Chamber? A lot. So what inspires you, but why do you give back like that? Obviously, we're going to get into Package One and the success story of Package One and what it took to build this this enterprise, but what inspires you to help the next guy in line?
Well, there's kind of a career change. You know, I did 20-some-odd years in the microelectronics industry, and I was gone all over the world. But when I finally made the decision to make a change, that I wanted to come home, and coming home meant coming home to Sacramento.
Yeah.
And so if I was going to build an enterprise here, I wanted to make sure that this was going to be a great place to live, work, play, and stay. And so part of that was just giving back to the community. I want this to be a great place for my kids. I want to have great civic amenities. I want everybody to get along, but I want to create jobs in this climate.
Yeah, creating jobs. I mean, I think sometimes small business people, we get a little bit overlooked, but a lot of jobs get created by small business. When you started your business several years ago, why don't you talk us about what that was like when you bought that business and how it grew? Tell us a little bit about that journey and some of the jobs and other impact that you had on Sacramento.
Well, I mean, actually, the first version of Package One was from scratch.
Okay.
So my partner and I at the time, Eric Portella, we took our own savings rented an empty warehouse, started a distribution company. We thought we were going to put the basketball court and the weight room over in one corner of the building because we wanted to have a culture of community. But we grew too fast. We never got beyond the basketball net, so we kind of filled the warehouse full of stuff. But we started from scratch, and we went down to the state store and bought used partitions and computers and desk, with the exception of one thing. We bought every employee a new chair.
Every employee got a new chair.
So they basically had to put it together themselves. So we got it from Staples and shoved it over there and said, hey, welcome to package one. But we had one new thing for them, and that was where they sat.
Used partitions, used shelving, but we got the new chair, protect the back and the well-being of the employee. But you talked about, you know, you kind of going in, I'll call it on a shoestring, where, you know, you got the money out of savings, you went in on the cheap, but you had skin in the game. What makes how does skin in the game affect one's desire in entrepreneurship?
Well, I think that if you have skin in the game, then you're committed. You're committed to the process. In our particular case, we got overcommitted. So at one point in time, there was really no choice. And so as entrepreneurs, I think you have to be vested. You have to be emotionally invested. You have to be financially invested. You have to be invested yourself. Your family's got to be invested. Anybody you're associated with, including your employees, have got to be invested.
Yeah.
And you got to find the magic words to kind of create that vision, because that's what it's all about, to be an independent entrepreneur.
What was the magic behind Package One?
It kind of varied, and it changes from time to time. I think that you have to have a solid vision. I think you have to have competent leadership. I kind of liken Package One and when we started to kind of like the 85 Bears, all these type A personalities, very strange guys with different, you know, eyes looking in different directions and what have you. But we were kind of an eclectic group, and magic happened. And so we were just a great group, and we started on fire and never looked back.
And as you grew, tell us about what the company looks like today. Obviously, you started off with used desks and new chairs and just a few employees, but now that company looks a lot different.
Well, I don't think we ever left the austerity plan. In fact, it was a kind of a joke in the companies that we weren't allowed to buy Post-its. I mean, everybody had to have their mark, right?
Yeah.
I used to know a CEO that only allowed people to have two pencils, and so I chose Post-its. And so every Christmas, I get a big basket bouquet of Post-its that the employees put together for me. But I think I think having the message of austerity and kind of living that program and reinvesting in the business, we took everything we had, put it back in the business, because it really was about the community. It was about the growth of the business, and you have to be able to give the business what it needs. So I think it was less about, you know, trying to create a absolute comfortable place to live or work. It was about having a good, clean environment where people knew that all the money that we took into the company was going to work for us.
Yeah, it's that culture. And what goes into building a culture like that where the team is so committed? Because, I mean, at the beginning of we're talking about the life cycle of an entrepreneurship, and we'll talk more, and the life cycle of an entrepreneur, we'll talk more about that as the show goes. But the life cycle of a business where you start off so hungry and with humble beginnings, but getting that buy-in at the early stages, it's so important. How do you get that?
Well, we started off with a big vision in mind. And so we didn't start off with something that we could easily achieve. You know, we took some criticism as a leadership team. It's like, hey, this is a big, hairy goal. You know, why are you going after this? And, you know, if we're not achieving at that same level of a pace, you know, are we being successful? So we have a big goal. We had a vision. You know, our goal was, and our vision was to enable commerce and save the planet one box at a time.
Oh,
and
wow.
We basically say we're going to make business happen, and we're going to be sustainable in our process, but we're also going to be $100 million. And so who's with me? And so it really comes down into having something that people can strive for and achieve year after year and show some measurable growth.
And you've actually, I mean, you've achieved so much. You guys have sold millions and millions of boxes. And it's beyond boxes. It's signage. It's packaging materials. I've got my hanging or banging sign back there that you gave to me. But, I mean, it's much more than that. But recently, you guys had an event where you brought four other larger package companies together and brought in some private equity in an effort to really grow the enterprise. Tell us a little bit about that. I know there's a lot of details that you can't get into, and this is fresh, but just give me a sense as to what the company looks like today.
So where we were, you know, we're about 140 people, $60 million or so in revenue. And most of the guys like us in our space, you know, really work together to manage our supply chain. So a few of us have gotten together and have gone into a business together with corrugators. And so there's, you know, three other guys like me, a little bit like me, but not like me. And we got together with a common goal of maybe creating this larger than life enterprise that covered the gamut of packaging. And so it was really kind of cool to get three other guys together with, you know, the folding carton and display, where I might have been more of the brown and white, the ag business.
Okay.
And a couple guys in the digital space. So really what we look like today is an aggregate company of in excess of $250 million
wow.
and 600 employees.
Wow, that is exciting. Now, and with all that success, Tom, you and I, we've became very good friends since you moved in next door to me, and we are a sounding board for one another in many cases. But we're also guys that like to have fun, and I think you've challenged me in that area. Mark, we have to do once-in-a-lifetime events, whether it's go to your homeland of Greece or my homeland of Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. We like to go do things that are kind of like off the charts. Where did that philosophy come from?
Hey, you know, I think if you're going to do it, you may as well do it. But I think you do it within your own means, right?
Okay.
So what is great and a once-in-a-lifetime experience? If you go to on a safari and you pitch a tent in Africa, and that's what you can handle, that's what meets your lifestyle, then that's great. If you go and pitch a tent and you've got people that are waiting on you and there's a chandelier in your tent, and that's cool too.
Camping trip over at lake up in the hills.
You know, I think once in a lifetime experiences, I think, are really kind of in the eyes of the beholder.
Yeah.
So I think it's about taking the ordinary of what you might consider ordinary and just making it special.
No question. I think being with people you care about is always very special. I want to thank you for joining me today, Tom, somebody I care about as one of my closest friends, and we're going to bring you back on the show after the next segment, but to share a little more about the entrepreneurial journey and what that is like. But coming up after the break, we're going to meet Mr. Greg Connolly. He is going to be entering the Mark Tank studio. Greg is the co-founder and president of Trifecta Nutrition. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, courtesy of Audi Rockland. This is the Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back to Mark Haney, igniting the entrepreneurial revolution with the Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project. This is Mark Haney, and we are brought to you courtesy of my friends at Hub International. Again, Mark Haney here with my good friend, a special guest, Greg Connolly, co-founder and president of Trifecta Nutrition. How you doing, Greg?
I'm excellent, Mark. Thanks for having me back out.
You bet. I appreciate you coming down. I'm not used to seeing you without an entourage. You normally have like a camera crew. I'll see Uriah Faber around you, right? You've normally got like a little fan support. You're here alone. What happened?
I know. Our team is recovering from the CrossFit Games last week. We were all the way out in Madison, Wisconsin. So,
wow.
Pretty much worked ourselves to death catering for CrossFit and Rogue, which is the big equipment sponsor. So
nice. Now you're catering for those guys. You're much more than a caterer in an alliance with CrossFit, right? These guys are a major part of Trifecta Nutrition.
Absolutely. So catering is wildly outside of our core competency, and we did it as a big favor to CrossFit.
Nice.
And I think it went well, and CrossFit was quite happy, but I think we are going to mostly stick to our core competency going forward, which is shipping meal prep food nationwide, so fully prepared meals.
That sounds easy. It's just shipping. I mean, it seems like it would be easier to go cater an event than to ship pre-made meals nationwide. Now, I am an investor in the company, but I'm also a customer, and you guys have some good food. I love your salmon. But tell us about the business of how did you get into this business, and why have you chosen to deliver the meals nationwide pre-cooked in the way that you're doing it?
Quick backstory: came from the software industry, had started a couple businesses in the software space, and the most recent one was acquired in May of 2010. And at that point, really wanted to follow my passion. We've talked quite a bit about it. You and I are both CrossFitters ourselves, big into health and fitness, and came to the point where wanted to do a big, Elon Musk, attempt to change the world type thing, and looked at one of the biggest problems facing the U.S., which is the chronic disease crisis caused by, people overeating.
Yeah.
It's, McDonald's and Coca-Cola are costing us about $1 trillion a year in healthcare costs, $400 billion in Medicare alone.
But if I order a Trifecta meal, I mean, I get all the ingredients and all the nutritional value, and it's not high calorie stuff, or do you have stuff that can help me add weight too?
If you're going to add weight, we would just attempt to increase the okay. amount of food.
Yes.
It's not going to be stuff where we're going to send you fried food or anything like that. If you look at the science, you can actually gain muscle, which is what yeah. someone like yourself is going to be focused on.
No doubt.
At a lower body fat. So yeah. if you're at 10% body fat, you're going to gain muscle faster than you would at 20 or 25%. So we try and keep it generally lean, and you know, people that are trying to gain weight, we just increase the amount of calories that they're eating.
Yeah, it's like healthy medicine, right? You put trifecta into your body and you instantly become a little bit more healthy.
Absolutely. And you know, with we've talked a bit about my wife being a doctor, you know, healthcare is more designed to take care of you after you get sick.
Yeah.
And, you know,
it's a little late sometimes.
Yeah, in a lot of cases, it's a little late, you know, especially when she sees people in the emergency room.
Man.
And, you know, we're really trying to be more on the preventative medicine side of the fence. And, you know, one of your previous guests, Trish Rodriguez from Kaiser,
yes.
has actually helped us, you know, get the ball rolling, you know, getting into healthcare. So that is long-term goal for the business. But right now it's be very cool and partner with CrossFit and the UFC and the NFL. And that's usually why I have celebrity athletes or cameras or whatever following me around. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like quite a fun business. But I describe you
it
guys
is.
as a rocket ship because your growth has been astronomical. Tell us about that growth. You guys are really almost like a startup, but instantly driving millions and millions in revenue. Tell us about that ascent.
Correct. So we've averaged about 20% month over month growth. So if you go from, we just
wow.
passed month 24, so August is our 2-year anniversary.
Wow,
yay.
Congratulations.
So in those 24 months, we've grown from about 2,500 in sales in our first month to we're, you know, closing in on 1 million in sales last
per
month.
Per month.
So, yeah, per
oh
month.
Oh my gosh,
yeah, so
wow.
We're at about a 9 million a year run rate, and we're hoping to be close to 30 million a year by the end of next year.
You know, I am so happy I invested in Greg Conley. I like the food, of course, but you know, when I make an investment, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, Tom Candris is an investor. I invest in rock stars, and when I met you, I was like, this guy has something special, and obviously, it's continued.
You're making me blush.
Well, it's without a doubt, but you know what? You're also one of those guys, like Tom Candris. You know, we talk about entrepreneurs helping entrepreneurs, and you know, he is the entrepreneur next door for me, but you've helped me too in marketing, and you know what? Where did you get that desire to be so, I guess, generous with your time and helping other entrepreneurs?
It's very similar to what Tom said. I worked in San Francisco for about 10 years, Los Angeles for about 7 years, and really enjoyed the entrepreneurial ecosystem there. But it's fundamentally different than Sacramento
mm-hmm.
because we're still a big city. You know, Greater Sacramento Metro has about 2 million people, but it's a small enough city that you really feel like you can have an impact on the community. It's not like San Francisco where there's the Googles and the Facebooks
yeah.
of the world, and I'm an extremely small fish in a massively big pond. So
right.
in Sacramento, I really feel like I can give back to the entrepreneurial you know, community, especially you know, people like yourself that are helping entrepreneurs in mass. You know, helping you become more popular is just going to help the community in general. And
mm-hmm.
you know, like Marcus was saying earlier, I think that is a big driver for the success of the country. It helps people get jobs. It helps the economy. You know, there's innumerable reasons that I could go on with why entrepreneurs is amazing and the driver of one of the reasons I think America is so great. So
yeah. Well, no, let's talk about key relationships. Uriah Faber is now on board as
yes.
a key player as part of Trifecta Nutrition. So you've got, you know, this celebrity branding happening, not just with Uriah. You're becoming a celebrity in and of yourself as a podcast guy, but you're also using other celebrities to help build your brand. How does that work?
Absolutely. So one of the most effective ways to market today is something called social influencer affiliate marketing, which is, to sum it up very simply, if you want to be popular, hang out with popular people.
Yeah.
And you're not directly hanging out with them via social media, but maybe they're giving you shout outs or they're talking about your product or whatever it is. And in the marketing space, it's really where you can get the most what we call ROAS, return on ad spend.
Yeah.
Or, you know, ROAS.
bang for your buck.
Yeah, the most bang for your buck when it comes to the marketing stuff you're doing, because these athletes, you know, we've had posts that reach millions of people on social media, and for me to do that successfully via television would cost me hundreds of thousands of dollars in advertising, and they'd probably be TiVoing past my TV commercials anyway.
Right,
So this allows us to reach people where they are, which is on their cell phone, and do it in a way where we're showcasing people that they're already interested in. And people like Uriah, you know, we've all seen his great six pack. People want to know how he got that great six pack.
How do you get that? Well, it's all about trifecta, folks. I don't do sit-ups.
Yeah, it's about, you know, your diet. You know, the old saying that you can't outwork a bad diet is absolutely true. So he knows it's 20% what he does in the gym and 80% what he's actually eating. And that helps his fan base get into better shape. So it helps his fans. It helps him. It helps us as a brand. It ends up becoming a win-win-win for everybody.
Well, you know what? This sounds like an incredible ride that you had over this last 2 years. And it sounds like an enormous amount of fun, right? So you got Uriah on your team. The business is skyrocketing. We're going to share a little bit more about the Greg Connolly journey, the trifecta journey, and the journey of the entrepreneurs. We're going to bring Tom Candris back in, and we're going to do a little back and forth, a little three-way conversation when we return. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, courtesy of the Entrepreneurs Organization of Sacramento and law firm Greenberg Traurig. This is the Haney Biz Project, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Now, back to the Haney Biz Project with investorpreneur Mark Haney.
Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, courtesy of the accounting firm Clifton Larson Allen. I'm Mark Haney, and I'm rejoined by both Tom Candris and Greg Connolly. We've been talking entrepreneurship, and I want to talk about the overarching life cycle of an entrepreneur. You guys have both built businesses, exited them, but it's a little addictive. Tom, is entrepreneurship your worst addiction, or are there worse addictions to have?
I think business is the worst addiction. I think entrepreneurship, but I think it becomes a passion, right? Yeah. So you don't really think about being an entrepreneur. You think about, you know, meeting payroll and maybe having some success along the way.
Yeah, so you're addicted to winning.
The label comes later.
Yeah, so Greg, let's talk about the life cycle of an entrepreneur, right? You have the beginning, which is kind of the area where you're at now. You've obviously got the end or the exit. Tom has just experienced something extremely cool. But then you have the thrill of victory that happens throughout, and then there's also the agony of defeat. Nobody goes through entrepreneurship undefeated. Which is the most important time in that journey of an entrepreneur?
I think that they're all important. One of the things I've really tried to focus on more recently is to enjoy the journey itself, because it is very fun. There are the stresses of meeting payroll and doing all of those things, but there are a lot of high points as well, and celebrating the victories as much as you learn from the defeats is absolutely critical. So I do love the startup phase. I am very jealous of you with all the startups you have going
on.
Here,
blast.
But the exit phase, I'm also quite
jealous. So you guys are just doing them one at a time. It's fun to do them like 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 at a time. It's a lot more fun. Okay, what's a big win?
You guys make it sound like I'm over. Stop that.
So, Greg, okay, so what's a big win story in this startup's time frame for Trifecta?
A huge win. Well, obviously getting an investment from you was
having
the wisdom behind us. But big win was definitely the partnership with CrossFit. That was something we had worked on for a long time. We've got another big win coming up here. We're very close to closing the deal with the UFC, which should be a huge one. And then I really think having Uriah come on board as well was a huge win for us.
He
represents Sacramento in a lot of ways. He really put Sacramento on the map when it comes to the kind of celebrity personality side of the fence. And having him, you know, select us out of all the, you know, the businesses that approach him and say, hey, this fits with me. Yeah. This fits with what I'm interested in. And it helps the Sacramento region in a big way is a huge win for
us. And I hate to pat myself on the back too much, but didn't I introduce you to Uriah Faber?
You get didn't, full credit. Yep,
I am a matchmaker, my friends. Now, Tom, you just had a big W, right? But, you know, it's not always easy. You, when you first started out, you had a business partner. You no longer have that business partner. You found a way to overcome that. But so often things in the beginning of a building of a business, they're so important for what happens in terms of winning for the rest of the entrepreneurial journey. Also, I'll throw the question over out to you. Which is the most important phase of the entrepreneurial journey?
I would say the half-life. I think it's okay. The gut check time. I think, you know, we didn't know what we didn't know starting up the company. We're excited. We just were running on energy, and we didn't know until revenue started to drop that we were no longer a startup. So the gut check time in the middle when you're faced with go, no go, keep going, give up, sell off, whatever it is. As it turns out that magically my gut check time was at the halfway point.
And when was that? What happened?
Well, we acquired a larger company than ourselves. So we were growing like crazy at 40% a year, not a month like my counterpart here, but Greg did a great job. But we were growing at 40% compound annual growth like crazy. We started acquiring larger companies, manufacturing companies. And we, you know, I'm not going to blame the economy, but the economy had made a change between 2007 and 9. Katrina hit, you know, commodity prices going crazy, different operating systems, and we just couldn't keep up. Now, we got hurt and got ugly earlier than most, which means that we could get healthier earlier than most.
Okay.
And that was a good thing for us because we had to sell off part of our businesses and we were able to get good value before everybody else went in the tank.
Did you learn anything about yourself?
You know, I'm going to take something away from my past that basically drove my decision to stick with it. Because, you know, I'd been in the high-tech space, and every 4 years when my stock vested, I went somewhere else to get another, you know, to bite at the apple. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking back on it, is my stock probably would have been worth more had I stuck it out. And I do remember not only the fact that I probably would have lost my house and my kids' college fund, but I look back on giving up on something too soon.
Yeah.
And so I was able to leverage things and, you know, sell off some of the commercial real estate I had to put it back in the business and roll the bones.
Wow.
And it was a big deal. So I recommitted to the business, and it was probably turns out at the end to be the best decision, but I didn't know that at the time.
Greg, where did you get your entrepreneurial philosophies, your winning philosophies from? We talked at the beginning of the show about what these kids learn in Little League, and sometimes it's not always easy. Sometimes the coach is not easy on you, or the board of directors is not easy on us. Is there anything that you learned early on that helped shape your winning philosophies today?
Absolutely. I think probably the biggest thing that's helped me over the years is being a voracious learner.
Okay.
At a very young age, started just ripping through books. I'm a big audiobook person now. I lived on websites like Forbes and Entrepreneur and Inc., listening to guys like Tom that I could learn as much, and yourself that I could learn as much as possible from as I, built businesses over time. So I think being a voracious learner is probably the best quote-unquote skill that I've developed over the years. And as the more you learn, you get further out on the pier and you realize how big the ocean really is and how much there is to know. And that's just kind of motivated me to continue to try and learn and personally grow.
Interesting that all three of us are kind of like local hometown guys. Greg, you went to Delaro High School right down the street.
Yes,
Tom,
sir.
You are Foothill High School. I am here from Roseville. Went to Oakmont High School. And we've all taken different paths. Tom, you went to high tech. You've done some entrepreneurial startups out of the area. And I just couldn't leave home. What is it about Sacramento? And I'll throw this, as we close up, we only have a minute left. What is it about Sacramento today that is so special?
Sacramento is a big little town. I think within one phone call away, you can talk to anybody.
Yeah.
And anybody will give you the time of day. I think this is a great community.
Yeah, Greg, closing thoughts about Sacramento and the great place that we have here to grow a business and really raise a family.
I think it's got a combination of a lot of things. It's Northern California, so all the beautiful nature, everything. The community is phenomenal. You're an hour away from San Francisco, the tech capital of the world. We've got Napa. Everything is all right here. And we also have, Texas housing prices, which is, phenomenal. You can really get a lot more bang for your buck and raise a family and have a really nice life. So love the area. Really happy I came back from San Francisco and Los Angeles and excited to give back.
Welcome home. We're glad to have you back, Tom. As we are very tight, and you've taught me so much. I want to thank both of you for coming on the show, sharing your stories, and really helping Sacramento to become what it is. And I think it is a future hotspot, or maybe even the current hotspot, maybe even the best kept secret in entrepreneurship around. So thank you guys for helping that to come together today for us. And I'm going to bring in Marcus Haney, my partner in crime. Marcus, we want to thank our sponsors. We want to do a few shout outs. So you might even want a little bit more Mark Haney. Give us some words.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're looking for a little bit more Mark Haney, visit us at haneybiz.com. We're all over social media, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. Look us up. I also want to give a special shout out to Kurt Rocha and Steve Mills over at DCA Capital. Those guys are doing great
we're all
things.
To those guys.
Absolutely. And I also want to give a shout out to James Beckwith over at Five Star Bank, the Entrepreneurs Bank, really doing great things here right in our community.
Without a doubt. Well, what if somebody wants to be around Mark Haney a little more? Guys want now some people don't want to be around Mark Haney too much. Guys like Tom Kandris, they like
get enough
around Mark Haney.
Yeah,
they can't get enough. But what if people want more Mark Haney? How do they reach out and get in touch with us?
Well, you can reach out via haneybiz.com and reach out, or you can come to some events that you'll be speaking at. You'll be out at Lincoln High School giving a speech to their varsity football squad. He'll be at Elk Grove Rotary on September 16th. And we're also doing Entrepreneurs Unleashed series here at the Allegiant Giving Center.
Come hang out with us, and I'll talk entrepreneurship with all
day.
You guys.
And that is September 28th.
A lot of time with Mark Haney on that day.
That is September.
That's it? I know there's more than that, but we'll leave it at that. You know, next week, we got some great guests coming up. Next week, we have Carol Berger, president of Berger Rehabilitation, and we also have Vicki Newman. She's an author and speaker. Her book is How to Love Your Cop. That's coming up next week. When we come back today, I'm going to talk a little bit more about our closing thoughts about, you know, how we view the life cycle of entrepreneurship. This is the Haney Biz Project, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Welcome back for Mark's takeaways from today's Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of Silver's HR. I'm Mark Haney, and we've been talking today about the entrepreneurial journey. We've been asking ourselves the questions, which part of the entrepreneurial journey and lifestyle is most important? Is it the beginning? Is it the end? Is it when you're winning, right, that thrill of victory? Or is it the lessons we learn, like Tom said, in maybe a time when there was a little bit tough. Maybe it was the agony of defeat. I'm back here with Marcus Haney, my partner in crime. Marcus, takeaways from today's show. Do you feel like you learned anything today from these entrepreneurial studs?
Oh, of course. I mean, being around Tom Kandris is always a good learning experience, and being around Greg Connolly and learning about how he's building his business. Something that stood out in my mind today, what they both spoke about, is how they think about their team first mentality. Mm-hmm. And I think that as entrepreneurs, that is the best way to build a culture to have some serious success like both these guys.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that Tom said that the, you know, I don't know what the most important part of the journey is. I have a philosophy, and I like what Tom said about, you know, overcoming the hard times.
Right.
And I think Greg's still in this ascent, which is so fun. It's like the beginning of an entrepreneurial journey, I think in many cases, is so fun. But you know what? It's also so fundamental in terms of the importance of winning. The way we build our foundation is so fundamental, and it's so important. So I would argue that maybe showing up is the most important part, and it's what happens at the beginning when we bring in our ownership team, when we bring in our board of directors, when we bring in those initial group of
executive suppliers,
but I'm talking about that internal team. Those key relationships at the beginning, I feel, are some of the most important decisions you make, because so often they're difficult to change as you move forward. It reminds me of a story of my, you know, like I said before, I'm on my third entrepreneurial journey, third career here. Started off video stores, then security cameras. Now I'm entrepreneurs helping entrepreneurs. But my first real journey was, and my first exit, right, was when I was about 11 years old. I had a newspaper route, and I learned something that I take with me even today as we start all of these businesses. And it's, you know, the first thing you have to do, it's really, I call it the three S's of winning in entrepreneurship: see student's guide to entrepreneurial success. And it starts with showing up. You gotta show up. And so often we are afraid to just jump out there and maybe put in that sweat equity that it takes to get yourself in the game. And that happened for me in my newspaper route. I was helping Andy Boss summer going into the fifth grade. And, you know, Andy, helping him with his newspaper route, helped him for a few months. And lo and behold, Andy does something totally unexpected. He gets a real job and he says, Mark, you want my newspaper route? And I was like, sure, yeah, I'll take it. I'm, you know, a little kid. And so I go home and ask my mom if I can have a newspaper route. And she says, no. Well, guess what happened? Next morning, the Sacramento Union newspapers all showed up on my front porch. And it was like, Mom, it looks like I got a newspaper route. So I started delivering the newspapers, and that got a little bit tiresome. I was getting up pretty early, so I recruited my first business partner, a young guy by the name of Paul Haney. My little brother became my business partner, and we went out, and we were, you know, we were into sports and that kind of thing, and we were great at throwing the newspapers. We could get him on the porch most of the time. That was better than the Sacramento Bee guy who basically dropped off the big old hunkin' bee and throw it in the middle of someone's driveway. We usually got it on the porch or near the porch. And back then, at the end of the month, you had to go collecting, and I was the collecting guy of the partnership. And so I remember going around, and I guess this is where the lesson came in. You know, you got to show up, but there's three S's. And so I knock on the door on one of my collections, and it's Mr. Schmidt. Mr. Schmidt is the entrepreneur of the neighborhood. He owns the local A&W. He's a success story. He's the president of Little League. He's the only guy. It's the pickup truck neighborhood. Everybody's got a pickup truck because they're working men. Well, guess what? These guys had a pickup truck and a Lincoln Continental. The Schmidts were successful, and Mr. Schmidt was very respected. So I knock on the door, collecting for the union, and Mr. Schmidt says, and it's some of the best advice I ever got, he's like, hey, Mark, you know what? You're getting the paper on the porch most of the time, but sometimes it's over by the, you know, by my sidewalk, the sprinklers come on, and the paper gets wet. And I'm like, oh, you know, my first customer complaint. I was devastated. He's like, but, you know, if you were to get it on the porch all the time, there may be something in it for you at the end of the month. And I'm like, okay. Now I'm motivated. Thank you, Mr. Schmidt. And I go home, and I'm kind of confiding that night to Paul. We're laying in bed, and I'm telling him the events of the day. And I got to tell you about the embarrassing moment with Mr. Schmidt and how he was unhappy with us. And I wanted to blame Paul, and I didn't. But I said, Paul, what do you think we ought to do? And he's like, maybe we ought to get it on the porch. Maybe get it on the porch all the time. And I'm like, oh, Paul, how about I got one better than that? Why don't we put it on that little ledge for, you know, the ledge that you have to pass through as you go into the front door? And he's like, I got one better than that. How about if we tip it on the ledge against the door so when you open the door, the newspaper actually falls into the house? And I'm like, yes, in home delivery, let's do this. And I think that was shocking. We tried to come up with something shocking. So you got to show up, but you got to, you know, you got to shock them too. You can't just show up. You got to shock them. I think if you're going to advance to your best entrepreneurial self. And with that, the word spread throughout the neighborhood. Our business grew like crazy, and we began shocking them all over the neighborhood through word of mouth, through influencer marketing, and we systematized. And as the year progressed, Paul would do all the work, and I would collect all the money. Nice. It worked out pretty well. And ultimately, we had our first exit. We created an auction. I had different, as we moved out of the old neighborhood, I had competing older kids, vying for that route that I had showed up and got through sweat equity. I was now able to auction it off for a cash payment and some recurring revenue. And it was really my first exit. But I learned more than the exit and the coolness of it, the thrill of the victory, it was really what I learned from this moment. And I guess as we close out today, I can only say that, you know what? We learn from being in the game. We learn from this entrepreneurial journey. We learn from not being a victim. You get a customer complaint, you got to battle through it. You get some tough times, you got to battle through it. The most important part of winning in any venture is showing up. If I don't show up, I got to say to myself, I got nobody to blame but me. I mean, if I'm a job seeker, I'm one of those guys out looking for the job, but I'm not beating the streets, physically knocking on the doors, talking to the people who actually make the decision about hiring, I got no skin in the game. I'm not even showing up. And I got to say to myself, I got nobody to blame but me. And if I'm a small business owner and I become a Flintstone founder, you know, the yubba-dubba-doo type guys that at 5 o'clock, they're skating out the door, and I'm the guy that's whining about poor sales growth, shoot, I'm not even the guy that's getting there early and staying late. I'm not really even showing up now, am I? And I gotta say to myself, I got nobody to blame but me. And if I'm a future business leader of Sacramento, and I haven't even reached out to meet the entrepreneur next door to me, and I somehow find myself on the sidelines of the Sacramento conversation, if I find myself feeling disenfranchised, I haven't even shown up. And I've got to say to myself, I got nobody to blame but me. This is about entrepreneurs helping entrepreneurs. I want to thank Greg Connolly and Tom Candris for sharing their stories. And just a salute to these guys. These guys are leaders of hometown patriotism, guys that know a little bit about showing up, about having skin in the game, and about never backing down from a challenge. And to all those fighting men and women out there who are securing our freedom and our way of life, to the 13 stripes, to the 50 stars on that flag, and to the one big American business venture always worth fighting for, yours. Never above you, never below you, always by your side.